So now this morning, I'm happy to introduce to you James Rock. James is the director of Trout Lake Camps. He's been a friend of my wife and I for a long time. James is the husband of one and the father of two. Isn't that right? Did I get that right?
Yes, yeah, okay. That's correct.
All right. Would you please give a Northwestern welcome to James Rock?
Howdy, everybody. So who's been to summer camp? Who went to summer camp as a kid? Okay. Who is in the theater program here that's been to summer camp? Anybody out there? I need two volunteers. I need a couple voice actors. I need a couple voice actors. I can't see much. I need somebody, put your hand up, stand up. There's a voice actor. I need another voice actor right there. Oh, somebody, the hat back there. Come on up. The hat back there, right there. You got pushed. You're turning around looking behind you. Come on up. Come on, you right there. Your friend did it to you. It's not my fault. Come on up. Right, come on up. You guys are gonna sit right there. Is he coming? Take your time, really, we're in no hurry, you know, really, sure. Oh, I got two guys? That's all right. Okay, that's all right. Come on up. You're gonna sit right there. So, we are gonna talk about a worthy life. And basically, man, I got so much I wanna share today. We're gonna come back to this point, but we're gonna come back to the point that Paul is about to die and he's thinking about a beverage, okay? Paul's about to die, and he's thinking about a beverage. We're going to circle around to that, but everything we talk about is going to lead up to that point. Does anybody know who this is? Pretty famous guy. Anybody know? J.I. Packer. He died in 2020. He was 94 years old. He had written about 60 books. Which one of these guys looks most like him?
Bobby.
Okay. All right, Bobby, here you go. All right, Bobby, you're it, okay? J.I. Packer wrote some amazing books. His most famous is Knowing God. We're talking about one that's called 18 Words today. He also was super heavily involved in the English Standard Version Bible. He actually approved every footnote in the study Bible. An amazing guy. We're gonna talk about him for just a second. This is Packer in 1948. He is at Oxford, and he is a brand new student at Oxford, okay? So he comes to this school, and he's like, man, I'm gonna hit the Bible hard. Man, I'm gonna learn a bunch of stuff. And basically, he has a conversation that starts out his first day. Now, I want you to think for a minute, what was something that you were talking about your first day at Northwestern? What was something you were thinking about, you talked to friends about your first day at Northwestern?
Soccer.
What was something you talked about your first day at Northwestern?
Calvinism.
Wow. So Packer is at Oxford in 1948. He goes and he gets his classes set up, and then he goes to a local pub, because you could do that in Oxford apparently, and he sits down at the pub and he looks at the guy next to him, and they start to have a conversation, and Packer is just going out of his mind. He's so excited that he is talking about mortification. Does anybody know what mortification is? Anybody, you know what mortification is? Got a guess?
Something to do with death?
You got a guess?
I would say the same thing.
Something to do with death. Mortification is, wait, we gotta work on this. This is Packer talking. You guys said you could do some old man voices. You're Packer. I need you to read this in your best old man voice. Okay, got it?
A Christian is committed to a lifelong fight against the world, the flesh, and the devil.
Keep going.
Mortification is assault on the second.
Okay. Come on. I need to hear old man. Go again. I need to hear old man. Okay, yeah. It was your throat. You needed it cleared.
The Christian is committed to a lifelong fight against the world, the flesh, and the devil. Mortification is assault on the second.
Nice. Lots better. Don't keep the mic. You're going to be doing this a lot. So mortification is this battle of the flesh versus sin. And Packer is getting ready to go to school. He's getting ready to figure things out. And he's so pumped that he finds this guy in the pub and they're talking about how can we kill sin. That's really different than we walked into college recently, I think. I'm not sure that we wake up too many mornings and go, man, how can I kill sin? How can I be excited? Talking about soccer, talking about Calvinism, super fun, exciting things, Calvinism. But Packer's excited about meeting a guy and talking about how do we kill sin? And we're gonna go a little bit further with that. This is a guy, his name is Owen, okay? He is here. Hi, Mr. Owen.
All right.
And he wrote a book about mortification. And he quoted this Romans verse, Romans 8. Ready, set, go.
If by the Spirit ye mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live.
That was wonderful. That was wonderful. That was wonderful. No, keep the mic. So I'm going to read a little Bible here. We're going to have a lot of Bible going at you, okay? Romans 8, if you want to go to it in your Bible, but I'll read it for you. Okay, Romans 8. There is, therefore, now, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ. Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walked not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh. Stop, listen to this next point. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those of you who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. Okay? We're going to look at a footnote that Packer said yes to, talking about verse 6. Verse 6 says, for to set the mind of flesh is death. Packer, read it to me, the footnote. Keep clearing that throat.
To set the mind on the flesh means to think continually about and constantly desire the things characteristic of fallen, sinful human nature. That is, to think just the way the unbelieving world thinking, emphasizing what it thinks important, pursuing what it pursues in disregard of God's will.
To set our minds on things of the flesh. To set our minds on the flesh is to disregard God's will. To disregard God's will. Let's go back to Romans. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh, but to live according to the flesh. For if we live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Again, another footnote, 13. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. J.I., hit it.
Those who give their lives over to the flesh will face eternal death. But those who slay the desires of the flesh through the power of the Spirit will enjoy eternal life. God and believers each have a role in sanctification. It must be by the Spirit and his power. But you put to death shows that one must take an active role in battling sinful habits.
J.I. Packer sitting in this pub. Great job. He's sitting in this pub. He finds this guy to sit next to. And the two of them are super excited and they're having this amazing conversation. And this conversation revolves around how do we put our sins to death? It's a driving factor in his day. How do I kill sin? I don't know about you, but I go to lots of church services. I travel all around, do all sorts of things. Nobody talks about this. By the Spirit and his power, you put to death sin because you're taking an active role in battling sinful habits. Are we taking an active role in battling our sinful habits? Are we excited when we defeat the sin in our lives? Are we different from the world who doesn't care about battling sin in our lives? Gonna go back to Romans. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. When is the last time you shared in Christ's sufferings to defeat sin in you? When is the last time that you looked upon yourself and said, I am an heir, heir to Christ? We're talking about kingdom and chapels this year, right? We're a part of that kingdom. We've been brought into this group, and we're being treated in a way that we don't deserve to be treated because of God's grace. Are we acting that way? Packer, hit it. I like the cough every time. It's awesome.
As those who now share Christ's risen life, whose citizenship and prospects are in the heavenly realm, who are no more children of wrath, but sons of God and heirs of glory, you must behave as befits your status.
Nice job. We are no more children of wrath if we believe who Jesus is. But we are heirs to glory. And Packer tells us, if we're heirs of that glory, we should act in a way that befits our status. Are you acting in a way that befits your status? I'm gonna play a video here. A lovely group, the Queen's dead, by the way, if that's a surprise to you, sorry. Okay? The Queen's looking around, the grandson's not doing the right thing, and she whacks him, and she says, stand up, okay? Now I need a Queen voice, and we didn't choose this yet. I need a Queen voice. That's you?
All right.
Okay, so, oh, the Queen, you know, the Queen is talking to
no,
the boy.
No.
Okay, so we're gonna go back, and I want you to tell the prince what he's doing wrong.
Stand up, Prince! Stand up!
Right. Yeah, you're doing great.
All right, cool.
Oh, the Queen,
cool.
Stand up, Prince, you're not.
Queen, stand up!
You're embarrassing me!
You're embarrassing me!
Yeah, there you go. Okay? So, you've got the Queen standing on this porch. And the prince is standing next to her, and he's talking to the kid. Not a bad thing. He's talking to his kid, and he's saying, oh, the airplanes, there's a parade or something going on. And the queen goes, come on. Stand up in a way that befits your status. Don't mess with the kid. You're the prince right now. Stand with decorum. Live in the way you're supposed to live. It's not about your kid right now. It's about standing here as part of the royal family. Do you have any friends that bump into you and say, hey, it's not about that right now. It's about the way you stand for Christ as part of his royal family. You are no more children of wrath, but sons of God and heirs of glory. You must behave as befits your status. Does killing sin drive your day? Colossians 3. You must be what you are and not what you were. Therefore, you must kill sin. I'm a leader of a camp. I've been at this camp for 25 plus years. Did other ministries prior to that for another 7, 8, 9 years. I'm an old fat guy. How many days have I woke up in my 50 some years of life and went, I am going to kill sin? Because when I read Romans, when I read Colossians, it's what I'm called to do as a part of Christ's kingdom, as an heir to that kingdom. And my question to the modern church is, are we doing that? Have you heard your pastors speak on this? 1948, it was right on the tip of Packer's tongue. To follow Jesus, I'm going to kill sin. A little bit more in Colossians. If then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passions, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. Talk to me, Packer.
Without a clear objective, one fights aimlessly. We must then be clear of what we are trying to do.
Duh. Right? Isn't this kind of duh? Are you waking up in the mornings and going, man, I am going to take this on? Or are you waking up in the mornings and going, whatever. And again, when I do this sermon, there's a mirror sitting right in front of me. And I'm like, James, you're such a dope. But where are you leaning? Are you leaning in, well, that's just a gray area, that's okay. Well, that was back in the day, that was a rule, that doesn't affect me. Oh, I'm a Christian, so I just got unlimited grace. Jesus is just gonna say, oh, that's okay, that's okay, that's okay. No problem, grace abounding. Or am I acting like somebody who's in the royal family, who's a part of the kingdom, that's being held to a higher standard? And do I separate myself from those things, even though it's so hard? Because if I'm not, I'm like somebody that's fighting aimlessly. Wow, I hit him hard, didn't I? I'm fighting aimlessly. What's the point? If I'm going to walk around and say, I am a part of Jesus' family, I am co-heirs with Christ, that should affect the way that I walk. Hit me, JR. Your J.I.?
Mortification is life's work. Sin will not otherwise die.
Okay. Wait. I hear that one different. Mortification is a life's work. Sin will not otherwise die. Are you killing sin? When you wake up in the morning, is this important to you? Or are you talking yourself into being just like everybody else? Who is going to kill sin if we as Christians don't do it? Who is going to make a stand so the world can see difference if we don't do it? J.I. Packer sitting in a pub his first day of school. He's like, yes, I'm going to go to school and I'm going to learn how to better kill sin. And I found a guy at the pub and we're talking about it and we're working on it. And it's, oh man, this gets me excited. This is better than soccer. Do we act like that? What's your scoreboard in your Christian walk? How do you know if you're winning or losing? How do you know if you're doing good or doing bad? Who are you talking to about your scoreboard? Who's encouraging you to do better? You have a soccer team, you're running around on the team, soccer guy, right? You're running around the team, you're helping each other out. Hey, do it like this, not like this. I was a wrestler, they didn't let me do soccer. I tackled people in football, I wasn't allowed. Soccer was way too, I don't know, not knocking people down was hard. What is your scoreboard as a follower of Christ? Do you have one? What are you wrestling with? What are you battling with? Philippians, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and act according to his good purpose. When's the last time your faith was fear and trembling? When's the last time your relationship with Jesus was on your knees in fear? And give grace abundantly. But are we taking it for granted or are we living differently? Hit me, Owen.
Set faith at work on Christ for the killing of thy sin, and thou with thy a conqueror.
And thou shalt die a conqueror.
Right? Right? Paul had a scoreboard, I think. He's gonna die. So the next act, you guys are gonna whack each other with this until, no, never mind. 2 Timothy, he's writing it. Paul knows they're gonna cut his head off soon. There's no doubt. They're gonna separate his neck from his noggin. He tried to get in front of the highest people in the land to witness to them about who Christ was. It failed. Now he's going to die. He knows that. They take him to this place. I've been to it. It's in Italy. And they're about to cut off his head. In 2 Timothy 3, he's talking to his pal Timothy. He says, "You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness." Timothy knew who Paul was and knew what was important to Paul. In my version, "Hey, Timothy, you know me. Live like I have." Okay? J-Rock's my camp name, by the way. So Paul's talking to Timothy and he says, by the way, Paul's favorite beverage is a Dr. Pepper. Have you ever seen a can like this? I went to Walgreens last night. This is how they had a can. My goodness, I've never seen anything like this. Paul's living his life. for I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time for my departure has come. There's an offering. It's a hot fire. Paul's favorite beverage, Dr. Pepper. I've poured my life out like a drink offering. The time for my departure has come. See that little last drip, Dr. Pepper on the end of there? Paul tells Timothy, you know about me. You know who I am. You know what was important to me. They're about to kill me for it. But Timothy, live like I have. Now, wait a minute for a second. If Timothy lives like Paul has, what happens to Timothy? What happens to Timothy? He loses his head too, right? Paul knows he's about to be killed. My life has been like a drink offering. The time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, but the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to his appearing. What is Paul doing in this moment? He's saying, Timothy, live like I live, but I think he's thinking past that moment. He says, I have this drink offering. I've offered my life as best as I can. There's just a couple drops left. I think he is thinking of that moment when his head separates from his body and he opens his eyes again and sees who? Jesus. And he goes, woo! I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I kept the faith. I killed sin. I want to go in like that. That's how I want to see Jesus' face for the first time. Now, I've met me, unfortunately. I don't think I go quite in as hard as Paul did. How do you keep score? Christians committed to a lifelong fight against the word, the flesh, and the devil. The world says, there's no such thing as sin. Don't worry about it. There's no, kill it. It's baloney. Do what you want. The Christian says, I am going to kill my sin because I belong with Jesus. The two most powerful words that you're going to utter in prayer, J.I. Packer said, is change me. Can we pray that God will give us the power and strength that only comes through him, Ephesians 3:20, to kill our sin? Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank you for this great group of people. I thank you, Lord, that you've given everybody here an understanding of who you are, I hope, and what you did on the cross, I hope. And everybody here has signed up and put their name next to yours. Lord, give us the strength that only comes from you to have a life worth living, which through Paul's example, through J.I.'s example, through Owen's example, is being someone that is mindful of killing the sin that is in their lives so that we can grow and reflect who you are to those around us. Lord, help each and every one of us here enter heaven with a scream in our throat. Not a, oh, thanks, shucks, I'll be standing over there. Thank you for this time, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. By the way, come work for me at Trout Lake Camps. There's the information. Have a great day.